What's happening locally? The news.
And indeed, let us take a look and see what is happening in the local news here in the Republic of Panama. Concesionaria Onyx SA, the consortium at the centre of an investigation into the alleged land deal in Colón, says that it never hid from the Colón Free Zone who its members were and asked for respect for its legal security and the rule of law. The concessionaire's beneficiaries include the children of Giovanni Ferreri Francucci, general manager of ZLC, the Free Zone, until the 1st of July. A month earlier, Onyx obtained permission to occupy two tracts of land in Cocosolo, adjacent to the Enrique Jimenez Regional Airport, both property of the Free Zone. Well, last February, Onyx concessionaire was also awarded the commercial operation of the aforementioned terminal, the main one in the province of Colón, although the general manager of Tocumen International Airport SA, AITSA, at the time, Rafael Arab, specified that said contract has not been drawn up yet and will probably never see the day the light of day. Well, last Friday, the Presidency of the Republic announced the suspension of that concession and also that of the Free Zone due to the alleged irregularities and conflicts of interest between officials of the previous government. In a statement that was released on Wednesday, the concessionaire ruled out any intention to violate the law and said that it was ready to begin developing the project. It's added that any company that had won the AITSA tender would have had to request the lease of the land from the Free Zone. As a result of the award granted by AITSA, we acquired the responsibility of developing land adjacent to the terminal complementary to the operation of the Colón Airport, the company noted. This request to Zolicol is a logical procedure for any company that won the concession, since the project would have been meaningless if the land did not operate under the same characteristics of the Free Zone regime. The consortium warns that in its lease application we presented in a transparent manner the relevant information of the members of the consortium, which rules out any intention of complying with the law. La Prensa had access to a document in which Juan Carlos Williams, secretary of the board of directors of Concesionario Onyx, reports that 100% of its shares are registered and its owners are the three companies, Corporación Onyx S.A., Sky Canna S.R.L. and Carga Transísmica S.A. This document states that the final beneficiaries of Carga Transísmica are Marco Alessandro Bruno Giovanni Luca and Melania Luisa Ferrari Marori, children of the former manager of the Free Zone. Ferrari Farucci told La Prensa that the rental of the premises was approved by the board of directors and the executive committee of the Free Zone, and that it was up to him as general manager to abide by that decision. The Franco-Nevada Corporation of Canada filed a formal arbitration claim against the Panamanian state for the closure of the Cobre Panama project, which was operated by Minera Panama, a subsidiary of the Canadian First Quantum. In 2016, Franco-Nevada signed an agreement with First Quantum in which it committed to disburse $1 billion to finance the construction of the mining project located on a 13,000-hectare concession in the districts of Donoso and Omar Torrijos in the province of Colón. Under this agreement, which was to last for 20 years, Franco-Nevada had the option to buy part of the gold and silver extracted by Minera Panama at a price which was lower than the price of both materials on the international market. Following the cessation of mining activity in the country, Franco-Nevada's claim was registered on the 12th of July at the World Bank's International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes, the ICSID. On February the 23rd of this year, we filed an updated notice of intent reiterating our intent to commence arbitration under the FTA. Now, the notice also specified that the company preliminarily estimates its damages of at least $5 billion, subject to further analysis and development, Franco-Nevada detailed in a financial report. The ICSID registration form indicates that the Canadian company will be represented by Debevoise and Plimpton in New York City in the United States and in Panama by the firm Fabrica Molino. Franco Nevada notified the Ministry of Commerce and Industry of its intentions to file an arbitration claim against the state for the first time on November the 23rd of last year. Following notification in a six-month period was open for both parties to reach an agreement, but as no rapprochement was achieved, the firm formally registered the claim before the ICSID, alleging that Panama did not comply with the terms agreed upon in the free trade agreement signed with Canada. In its financial statements for the first quarter of 2024, the company indicated that it had already spent $1.5 million on the entire process related to the arbitration it intended to impose against Panama. The Reuters news agency reported a few days ago that First Quantum spokespeople indicated that during the month of July they would also be registering two arbitration claims against Panama, where they would request more than $20 billion in compensation following the ruling of the Supreme Court of Justice that declared on the 28th of November last year that the contract signed by the administration of Laurentino Cortizo and Minera Panama was unconstitutional. Roderick Gutierrez, president of the Panamanian Mining Chamber, has indicated that the most advisable thing for the country is to reach an agreement with the complaining companies so as not to affect Panama's image in international markets. Surprisingly, some of the luxury cars that had mysteriously disappeared from the Colon City Hall during Alex Lee's administration from 2019 to 2024 were returned in recent days. The information was released by the new mayor of Colon, Diogenes Galvan, who stated that 13 of the 28 cars reappeared and are currently in the facilities of the Colon City Hall. As will be recalled, these vehicles were handed over to the Colon City Hall in the Lee administration by the Directorate of Administration of Seized Assets of the Ministry of Economy and Finance. However, Galvan denounced that when he entered the local government on the 1st of July, well, the cars were not there. I want to report on a little on what is happening. 13 cars have been delivered today. Little by little, the responsibility is being carried out by the people who own the vehicles, said the new mayor in a video. Galvan showed brands such as Mercedes, Toyota Fortuner, Honda Accord, Honda CR-V, Hyundai Tucson, Kia Optima, among others. In addition, he was critical of the condition of some of the vehicles. Look at the condition of these cars. The cars are in a very bad condition. Well, he also announced that a resolution will be made to hand it over to the Ministry of Economy and Finance. The Public Prosecutor's Office, headed by Attorney General Javier Caraballo, issued a statement on the matter. In a statement, it said that it does not have the authority to decide on the use and custody of provisionally seized assets since they are placed at the disposal of the Ministry of Economy and Finance until the case is decided by the competent court. Agents of the National Police and the National Migration Service carried out a raid and search on Wednesday. This was in a building in the district of Santa Ana, very close to Plaza Cinco de Mayo. Now, according to the police, in this operation, Luna 2, against the crime of human trafficking, in which the Justice of the Peace and the district is also participating, dozens of agents entered the building and searched apartment by apartment. This place is known for hosting foreigners, and each of the tenants was asked for documents to show their status within the country. 16 people with suspected irregular status were taken away, and of these, 14 are women and 2 men of different nationalities. Leaders of the Single Union of Construction and Similar Workers, Suntrax, met on Wednesday with the President of the Republic, José Raúl Molino, and other national authorities. One of the central topics of the meeting was the closure of the bank accounts of this group in the savings bank. At the end of the meeting, Suntrax Secretary General Sal Mendez mentioned the possibility of reopening an account at the National Bank of Panama. We had an account there, but it didn't really receive deposits, Mendez explained. There are some checks that we haven't been able to deposit in the bank since November. Maybe this is the first deposit we make, he said. The final decision on this possibility will be made at a meeting of the board of directors of the union leadership. Mendes said that this board could meet in the afternoon. Also present at the meeting were ministers Jacqueline Muñoz, Labour, Juan Carlos Oriac, Presidency, and Frank Abrego, Public Security. The National Secretary of Energy, Juan Manuel Oriola, stated that the $14 million fine imposed on the company Naturgy is final and cannot be appealed, thus ensuring that these funds are returned to Panamanian citizens. As Oriola explained on the program Radiografía, the fine was originally issued in 2013 and later confirmed by the Supreme Court of Justice, but it was now that Zelma Rodriguez, Administrator of the Public Services Authority, this is the SEP, discovered it shelved in files without this case having the possibility of appeal by Naturgy. In relation to the case, the electric distribution company Metroeste S.A., that's Edemet, and the electric distribution company Chiriquí S.A., Edechi, both part of the Naturgy group, failed to comply with the current service quality standards in terms of electricity, for which they were fined $14 million. Now, the quality of service is assessed based on the frequency and duration of interruptions to customers, which must not exceed 3 minutes, unless due to force majeure or unforeseeable circumstances. Oriola said that more fines will soon be issued to Naturgy and other distribution companies. He explained that the authorities are in a preparatory phase to approach the Supreme Court of Justice before the concession contracts expire in 2028. Quote, the court must resolve these cases because otherwise there is a kind of impunity where the distributor thinks that, well, nothing will happen. Unquote from Oriola. Even though penalties do not immediately resolve the problems, they do send a message of responsibility and can influence the renewal of contracts, also said Oriola. Well, regarding the $14 million fine, Edechi and Edemet have been ordered to apply a credit in favour of their clients affected by failure to provide quality service in the order of $3.6 million and $10.7 million, respectively. And that's it. There we go. There's our look for this morning. Those are some of the local news stories compiled for you for today's programme.